How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. Today, we're talking about Anthony Volpe. Now, you probably saw or heard DJ LeMahieu took a foul ball off his foot on Saturday. I think imaging came back clean. He should be okay. They're giving him a day off today, but he did take it pretty good, and that's kind of what Aaron Boone said about it. And, you know, the Yankees now wondering, is DJ LeMahieu going to be the leadoff man this year? I think we can all agree that probably he starts the year as that number one option ahead of Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. You know, that veteran experience. He has a little bit of a polarizing spring this up to this point, but again, fair to take spring training results as you know, with a grain of salt, and I think DJ will be just fine. But I think there's a real discussion to have about Anthony Volpe and when we expect him to maybe graduate to that primary leadoff role. He's looking really freaking good. He had a, I think, a 3-4 hit performance 2 days ago. The bat swing, the bat path looks really, really even. He's generating a lot of good contact. His power and strength is still there. I think maybe we'll see a dip in home runs, but at a really nice spike in batting average and on base percentage. So we'll see how that kind of materializes over the season. But, you know, right now I think many people are expecting him to be the number nine hitter, but when do we start to talk about him as the team's leadoff hitter? What kind of numbers do we have to see, Ryan? I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts and perspectives on how long you think it'll take, what he needs to show to justify it. But before we dive into it, how you do tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great, and it's a very interesting conversation regarding Anthony Volpe in the leadoff spot, because the Yankees are seemingly preparing him for the opportunity to potentially be the leadoff hitter if he were either, one, perform well enough, or two, something were to happen to LeMahieu. And, you know, obviously I'm not too worried about that LeMahieu injury because it's soreness on the left foot, and he had that toe fracture in 2022 on the right foot. If it was on the right foot, I'm pressing a couple of panic buttons, right? Because we've seen how that's slowed him down before. But I think he should be fine. Again, crossing your fingers, hoping, you know, pray that nothing gets worse, that the soreness just improves, and, you know, kind of go from there. I think the Yankees still need depth in their infield. They're going to need to grab utility infielder for sure. But as it pertains to Anthony Volpe, you know, the speed is great. The speed is actually exactly what you want for your leadoff hitter. You know, two of the things he's prioritizing are, you know, working more walks and having that flatter bat path. I think we'll see a higher bat BIP. I think that will result to a higher batting average. A higher batting average increases your OBP. I think, you know, if you can walk about 9 to 10% of the time, we're going to see that OBP spike as well. I'm not sure what the power is going to look like. Like, I'm not going to lie. You know, you flatten your bat path. You're not going to really expect to hit for more power exactly. But, you know, if the power is, if he's got a 150 isolated power and you're sitting about 260 with a 340, 350 OBP, that means he's going to slug around 410. 760 OPS, 770 OPS with a high OBP, probably a 110 WRC plus hitter with that, with those numbers. I'll take it, right? Like, that's a great year for Anthony Volpe. That's not like a, that's fine. That's a great year, especially with his defense and speed. It's a great ball player. That's a phenomenal baseball player. That's a leadoff guy every single year. Gets on base, works walks, steals a bunch of bases, puts pressure on the opposing pitcher, makes them have to think about Anthony Volpe dancing off of first base while they're also trying to pitch to Juan Soto, while they're also potentially trying to pitch to Aaron Judge. It's a nightmare for opposing pitchers, and that's kind of what you want this Yankee lineup to be. A nightmare for opposing pitchers, because there's more pressure on this team to score on now without Gerrit Cole than there ever is, you know? And look, I'm not sitting here and saying the Yankees are guaranteed to be a good offense. We saw how poor of an offense they were last year, but I think this is a deep Yankee lineup. Like, I'm gonna go to bat for this lineup. I think this lineup is really good. You know, looking at obviously Judge and Soto, like, it's Judge and Soto. It's kind of hard to screw that up. I think Rizzo, you know, he looks primed for a big year. I'm not even talking about spring training. I just think the guy looked good before he got that concussion, and if he can be a 120, 125 WRC plus hitter, he's going to be a great four hitter behind Judge and Soto. He'll clean up. He'll hit a lot of home runs. He'll drive in RBIs. He's probably, if you're playing fantasy, Rizzo's a great, like, late round guy to pick up. He's not going to give you average, but he might give you home runs and RBIs with Judge and Soto in front of him. And then looking at guys like Torres, and looking at guys like, you know, Verdugo, who I think will provide contact and a little bit of power. Torres more power than Verdugo, obviously. Stan's obviously a big question mark. You know, I don't know exactly what you're going to get from him, but he does look better in spring training. You know, we were, not us particularly, but like Yankee fans were getting on him about his poor spring training performance. Now he looks better. So, you know, I think if you're going to get on him about that, you also have to kind of be like, okay, well, it's trending in the right direction. I almost prefer the spring training that Stanton's having to just, like, a standard good spring training. Starts off cold, and then you're like, oh, okay, things are building up. He looks a lot better. You know what I mean? I think that's a lot more of an encouraging spring training. You've got Volpe, Wells, I mean, dude, Austin Wells could really ball out. If Volpe can be that leadoff hitter, it just changes everything. Because if you look at the top of that lineup specifically, Alex, and you just kind of look at how everything balances out, you've got bat after bat after bat, and guys who can put the ball in play and hit for power and make good swing decisions, they're going to be a unit. But it kind of starts at the top, and I don't know if LeMahieu's going to be able to do it, but if Volpe can, this lineup's going to be special.
Yeah, it absolutely is going to be special. And, you know, last year we saw Volpe get a couple opportunities at some points in the season. You know, offense was struggling, and he did not look very comfortable. And I think if you watch his swing now, Ryan, you know, you kind of pointed this out a couple weeks ago, and his eyes are laser focused on the ball. Like, you see his point of contact, his eyes are directly parallel with where the ball is a lot of these times. He is staring it right down, like watching it go to his bat. Last year, one of the things that was really concerning was that his head would completely swivel around. Like, he was generating a lot of, he had 14.2 degrees of launch angle. He was trying to use that uppercutting motion, generate a lot of power, elevate the ball. But by doing that, his eyes, his whole head was moving in the process, and he was losing sight of the ball as it was coming in. Now, you're watching him. He's kind of just using his upper body to control his swing, use that more of that level swing path and have his eyes stay centered and not swing. His whole head was swinging. His whole body was swinging around. His actual discipline, his fundamentals are astronomically improved. Like, if you watch his swing comparably, they're two different players almost, it looks like. So I'm very optimistic this is going to be very beneficial to him. Now, of course, last year he played 159 games, hit 209, 283 OBP, 383 slugging. The 21 homers are impressive, but, you know, still his slugging rate wasn't anything special. 27.8% strikeout rate. But now you kind of fast forward to this spring training and you see 14 games, small sample size, of course, things are going to even out during the regular season, but he is hitting 368 with a 415 OBP and a 500 slugging rate, and his strikeout rate has dropped to 19.5%. That's almost a 10% decrease. This is what Boone had to say about him recently. Overall, he was a very good fastball hitter, just fastballs down last year, but hopefully this puts him in a better position to handle that. He'd be better in certain areas that got exposed, but then it also puts you in a better position to handle the mistakes off-speed pitch that shows up that a lot of times is a ball you can hit for extra base hitter out of the ballpark. So last year, he hit 248 with a 479 slugging rate against fastballs, but against breaking balls, off-speed pitches rather, he hit 147. So, you know, that's a massive difference. Against fastballs still, like, he was hitting for average, right, against fastballs, but against breaking and off-speed pitches, he was awful, like horrendous. So I think that him having a better stature, a better stance, and more of an alignment in the batter's box, his eyes are more controlled, his weight is better balanced, it's going to allow him to really tell what pitch is coming, react faster to it. How do you think these fundamental changes are going to impact his numbers in terms of, you know, hopefully boosting them quite significantly?
Yeah, so, you know, I think obviously the numbers against breaking balls and off-speed pitches, that's got to improve. Like, it's got to go in the right direction. He's not going to be a capable leadoff hitter if, you know, batters can just expose him with one pitch or with, you know, one pitch category. You know, I'm not necessarily sure if we're looking at a guy like Anthony Volpe and saying, okay, you know, he's got to have a dominant, like, offensive season. Again, like, the expectations are not carry the lineup. It's more of a, like, it would be really pleasant. And honestly, I think it would change the outlook of this Yankee offense if he were able to be the leadoff hitter. And, you know, that bat pass should give him also a little bit of more of a larger margin of error is kind of the best way to put it. I think that's also the terminology either Volpe or Roseman used. But when you have a loftier swing, you have to, like, if your barrel isn't exactly where it needs to be, you're whiffing on the pitch. And look, sometimes it's better to swing and miss than to roll over a ball because, you know, you'd rather be 0-1 than 1 out, right? But if you get a breaking ball and it's, you know, two strikes, you absolutely don't want to whiff on two strikes. You absolutely do not want to swing and miss on two strikes. That ends the at-bat, right? Even a ball in play. Look, the batting average on balls in play on a ground ball is like 200, but that's 200 points better than the batting average on balls in play for a strikeout, which is zero. So, you know, I just think that it's important for us to kind of, or not us, for Volpe to be able to also be selective with that. Like, I want him to still take an aggressive hack at a 3-0 fastball. You see it, or not 3-0, 3-1 fastball. If he gets a 3-1 fastball and it's over the heart of the plate, rip. You know what I mean? Like take that A swing. Take that, you know, I'm going to crush this baseball kind of swing. Those are your damage pitches. Those are the pitches you're supposed to change the game on. But when it's, you know, 1-0 or 0-1 or 0-2, you know what I mean? Maybe you do maybe you do value a little, or not 1-0, excuse me. If it's 0-1 or 0-2, maybe you don't want to dig yourself, because if you dig yourself in an 0-2 hole with a whiff, you've got a very low chance of coming out with a hit. And if it's 0-2, obviously you don't want to swing and miss there. I think those are the counts where Volpe is going to have a little more success. And then again, I just think that natural luck, I just think he ran some poor luck with his batting average anyways. I think that'll even out for him, just kind of everything coming together for him. I think this is the year for Anthony Volpe to really take that step forward. And, you know, coupled with the great defense, coupled with the great base running, and that base running is going to play such a big factor in how scary and dynamic this Yankee lineup could be, because most of the good Yankee lineups we've been accustomed to, especially in the Baby Bomber era, were slow, hulking, like they don't really know how to, they can't really move around the bases. They're kind of a liability on the bases. I think a great Yankee team is able to hit, obviously, but also able to have enough base running skills that they can put a little bit of pressure. You have, you know, Volpe. Wells is a pretty solid base runner. Like he's not fast, he's not aggressive, but like he'll make the right decisions out there. Obviously, you know, Verdugo is like a pretty solid base runner. He's not overly slow. Glaber's pretty aggressive. You kind of wonder when Dominguez gets back if he can also be like a hyper aggressive base runner for you. But this team needs to be a little bit faster, and I think Volpe's going to provide he's going to play a big part in their ability to be a lot faster.
Yeah, exactly. And look, having Volpe at that leadoff spot, it opens up a world of possibilities. If you're Juan Soto and Judge and Volpe's on first base, like imagine, and the underrated factor here, the underrated variable a lot of people forget, like think about what Volpe did on the bases last year. He threw pitchers off their rhythm. He distracted them. He put them in a place where they were having to constantly look over, constantly disrupt their flow. And if you're disrupting a pitcher's flow against Judge and Soto, you are going to be taken advantage of, right? They're going to hit you where it hurts. And I think that asset, that's a huge asset. The Yankees are banking very heavily on Volpe taking this big step forward, because if he does, if he gets on base a lot ahead of those two guys, it is going to create a world of trouble for opposing pitchers. And DJ LeMahieu, he's good, but he's not going to scare anybody on the base pass. He's not stealing any bases, right? So you don't really have to worry about him disrupting the rhythm of a pitcher. And for pitching, I mean, I think you would probably agree, a lot of it, if you're feeling good and you're a pitcher and you're just churning through pitches, you're churning through batters, but then you have a guy that gets on base, right? And he's dancing, he's moving, and suddenly you're having to draw your attention away from the catcher. That chemistry is starting to that flow is starting to be disrupted. That really does make an impact. Baseball really is a mental game, as much as it is a physical one. And pitchers, you know, they can be impacted that by a large margin by a lot of different variables. And I think that Volpe kind of brings an element that is a rarity in today's day and age. You know, like Ellie De La Cruz, you see some really great guys. Corbin Carroll steals a lot of bases. Those guys have an impact that is underrated. And I think that Volpe becoming the leadoff hitter is not only in the best interest of the Yankees, but it's in the best interest of the hitters behind him. And we'll see how this goes. And I think that's why they will start him at number 9. Because, like, yes, it's not number 1, but you wrap around to the top of the order there. And I think that you can probably maximize his value at number 9 until he's ready to take over number 1. So that's kind of my take on it, guys. I'd love to hear your perspectives down below in the YouTube comments section. Make sure to like and subscribe, as always. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.